Welcome to another episode of the Music, Money, and Life podcast. A couple quick announcements before we get started. First off, this podcast, as always, is brought to you by howtolicenseyourmusic.com. If you'd like to learn how to license your music in television shows, films, video games, commercials, and more, visit howtolicenseyourmusic.com. Secondly, do me a favor. If you're listening to this podcast in iTunes, if you like this podcast and you have a minute, please take a minute to leave me a review in iTunes. The more reviews I get and the more positive feedback people leave on iTunes, the more listeners I'll attract and the better guests I'll be able to bring on the podcast and bring to you. Without further ado, let's get to today's podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Music, Money, and Life. Today, I'm speaking with Greg Davis from the website rhythmofprofitability.com. And Greg runs a really cool website and podcast. And Greg works with artists and entrepreneurs and helps them sort of come up and develop business plans and strategize how to go about making money as artists and entrepreneurs. Greg, how are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me on the show today, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Greg, what I thought we would do is we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and I thought if you could start by telling my listeners a little bit about yourself and your background and what led you to start your business and website.
Sure. So essentially, I started in the music industry really as, you know, like most people do in the sense of just a kid that was aspiring, wanted to be a rock star. And I grew up in Cincinnati area, and I didn't come from a musical family. And I didn't come from really a great musical area either. There wasn't really a lot of industry at that point. Cincinnati had a really thriving music industry in the 60s and 70s. But in the 80s, it was a little more limited. So I really was learning everything on my own. And what I kind of found out about myself as I started playing in bands was that I really gravitated towards business and marketing. And so, yes, I was performing and I was writing and I was doing a lot of those kinds of things, but I really, really loved the business and marketing side of that as well. So what happened for me was really I worked my way up from, you know, starting out gigging to working with management companies, working with international recording artists, doing touring, had some songs on the radio as well. And really just kind of went all over the board when it came to various things I did in the music business. Then I got to a point where I really started kind of a burnout stage. I think I've been working so hard at it, running really hard at it for a long time. And because I loved the business side of it, I found myself kind of wanting to learn more of just a different industry. And so that took me into working in e-commerce and digital marketing. And did that for several years in more of a corporate America type of role, which it's kind of interesting with music. I always have used music as sort of the muse for me, to help me through a lot of other things. So when I would be in these corporate situations, a lot of times I was in a spot where I was like, I don't know what to do here. I don't care really. I'm doing this job and I'm just trying to kind of find my way through it. And so what I would always do is kind of fall back on music and I'd say, okay, well, if this was a gig, how would I have handled this? Or if this was a band that I was, how would I handle this? Because everything, I say this to people all the time, everything that I, you know, I'd say my cutting my teeth in the business world all started from being in a band, because, you know, as well as anyone out there that plays in a band, you are the person that's doing the hiring, the firing, the marketing, the promotions, the negotiating of contracts, the, you know, you name it, it's all within a band. And so that is something that always stuck with me. Now, fast forward again a few years and tell you a little bit more about Rhythm of Profitability, is that I found myself in these corporate situations that were on paper, they sounded really good, working for some really, really well-known international brands. And it seemed like, okay, this is what everybody kind of strives for. But I found myself still struggling with being fulfilled. And I think it was because of all that artistic, I'd say, you know, whatever you want to call it, passion that I possessed, that all still kind of stemmed from music. And so what I recognized for myself was I wanted to find a way to take all the business and marketing expertise that I had, as well as all that passion and some of those disappointments that I had in the music industry, and be able to help other people find a way to be profitable with their artistic careers. And so they don't get to a stage of burnout, because they can find new and interesting ways to stay with what their passion is, and hopefully avoid some of the burnout that I went through. So that's really kind of what brought me up to where I am at this point.
Okay, awesome. No, that a lot of what you're saying really resonates with me. Do you find what you're doing now compared to your former life of pursuing music and playing music, do you find that you're more fulfilled now? Do you feel like you're kind of more aligned with what you feel your true calling is?
Absolutely. That's a great question, because I think that for a long time I struggled with where do I fit in this, because I definitely saw things that I loved about being a performer or being a writer, and I still love those things. I'd say probably more on the writing side than I do the performing side.
Yeah.
But there were things that still just never felt right. And then even when I was doing those corporate gigs, it was just like, this is all going well and I'm learning a lot and but it's still just not right. Now I literally love every bit of what I do for my job. And the reason why is because, the part that's so fulfilling about being in the music business, of the part that everybody loves, is the creativity that comes from that. And so when I work with clients, I have an opportunity to be surrounded with creativity and a lot of idealism. And there's a lot of people out there that are constantly telling you no. I mean, that is what, that rejection is constant in artistic business. And people don't understand your vision, and they have a hard time really grasping it. What I love to be able to do is to create an environment for my clients where it's a yes environment. And I say that in the sense of, hey, look, you know what? Any idea is a good idea. Sometimes we need to shape that a little bit better, but ultimately it's a great idea. And so I tell you what, when I get off the phone with a client or I leave a meeting with clients, I'm so pumped up, because I feel like what we did was we actually got, we have to be practical. We have to make sure that I'm not just telling you, oh yeah, you can do anything you want and everyone's just going to come because you build it. That's not what it's about. But it is about taking all those ideas and actually turning them into something that is functional, that actually can be prosperous and actually be profitable. That's the part that just makes me realize, after all these years and trying to kind of figure out who I am, I know that I'm in the right spot. So thank you for asking that, because that is absolutely where I feel right now.
Good. Yeah. It reminds me of a conversation I had recently. A couple weeks ago, or actually I think it was about a week ago, I interviewed this singer-songwriter from LA named Kathy Heller, and it was a really cool interview, and she's doing really, really well with licensing. She's doing six figures a year, really just crushing it in the world of advertising and TV and film work. But something she said in the podcast really struck a chord with me, and I've been thinking a lot about it lately. And she talked about how when she was in her mid-20s, she went to LA with the idea of becoming like a performing, touring, and recording artist. And that she had this conversation with her then producer that sort of led her to focus more on licensing and songwriting. And so and since then, she's become really successful. But the idea that sort of struck a chord was, I wonder how many musicians are just not quite on the right path, right? Like maybe they have an idea of doing one thing, and they're sort of clinging to this kind of immature vision of where they think they should be. Can you talk a little bit, Greg, because I'm assuming you work with your artists on things like this. Can you talk about how artists can find really viable, successful paths, and what is that process like? How do you know when to let go versus forging ahead?
That's a great question, and a really loaded question as well. So Lee, let me kind of walk through that a little bit. First of all, it's very difficult sometimes to be honest with ourselves. And give me an example. Me as a performer, I was really great in certain situations, but I wanted other situations that I just didn't have the chops for. And it's something I didn't want to admit to myself and know I could overcome this, but there were things that I just didn't come naturally. And so it was really hard to be able to identify that. And I think that most of us look at that as a failure, and we don't want to admit that to ourselves. And so the thing that's so important about doing that is to find like I said, I mean, I found that I really gravitated better towards business and marketing than any of the other stuff. And so if I had really kind of recognized that at a younger age, I may have maybe have not wouldn't have reached the burnout that I did.
Yeah.
But so what I try to do with people to answer your question is that I really try to break it down into systems. Okay. So I have systems in place to be able to help people answer some of those questions, because believe it or not, whether you're a musician or any other type of entrepreneur, a lot of times what you think you want to do is not really what you want to do. And you need somebody to help facilitate that. And so that's what I try to do for people by looking at what are the things that you are truly good at, really great at, kind of rate those on a 1 to 5 type of scale. And then what are the things that you really want? And what are the things that you kind of dislike? And that all sort of folds. It might sound more complicated to say it over a podcast, but it's really more of a systematic process to help people kind of identify the areas that they really recognize. And sometimes it just takes somebody actually facilitating that. I mean, you could sit there and do that homework on your own, but chances are you're gonna quit at one point, because again, you might hit that moment where you're like, no, I'm not willing to go there. You know, it's like therapy. Yeah. I'm not willing to go to that dark spot where I have to admit to myself that maybe this isn't the right path. You need somebody to kind of help coach you through that. But the idea here is for you to really start to recognize those other areas and not to look, first of all, don't look at things as a failure. A lot of people really get hung up on, I'm failing at this, or, you know, they're just so disappointed in themselves. My dream's not going to come true. The big picture is, if you can recognize all these other strengths that you have, then you learn from those other things that maybe you're not as good at. You can learn about how you can leverage that. You can do other things that you can still be really passionate about, but maybe it's different than what you originally set out to do. But guess what? That's most people in any career. You know, I mean, even the life of an artist doesn't necessarily have the lucky ones are the ones that have a 30 or 40 plus career. A lot of times people are kind of drifting off into other space. What I want to do is I don't want people to drift off like that. I don't want them to fall out of the environment that they love. I want them to find something that keeps them in the environment that they love, but gives them something that makes them feel more empowered. I'd rather you feel really good about yourself because of the things that you are good at versus feeling really bad at yourself because you never maybe reached the success that you thought you should have. Does that make sense the way I position it, or should I explain it a little better?
Yeah, no, that absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because I think, you know, in the context of the music business, I think what most musicians, in this assumption might not be 100% correct, but I think it's pretty safe to say that most musicians, when they think about success in the music business, I think most musicians starting out have this idea of becoming famous, like somehow fame equates to success, which if you really think about it and break that apart, it's kind of a weird thing, because if you look at any other industry, if you think about wanting to start a restaurant or becoming a doctor, we have all these other paths in life that you can be successful at that you don't necessarily need to be famous doing. So I think people are often short-sighted in failing to realize that within the context of the music business, sure, there's you could become a rock star potentially, but you could also become a songwriter. You can license music. You can work in the music business on the business and marketing side like you do. So I think there's a lot of different potential ways to be successful. Does that ring true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I've done some session work with some players that these guys, I remember one track in particular, these guys were in their 60s, and they were long gone from having that rock star look or those rock star dreams, but they were Grammy award winning performers that were session players. And I mean, we're talking about these guys come in and within, you know, they maybe run through a song once or twice and then they play it live recorded and it is ready to go. I mean, that's just how good they are. And they're making a living doing exactly what it is they love. You're never going to see their name in the paper or in lights, but they get to play every day doing something that they totally love. So I think to your point, you know, and this is where the strategy part comes in. This is what people always need to be focused on, is you have to be honest with yourself. What is your goal? What is your real goal or motive for doing the things you're doing? Because if it is simply fame, again, you know, fame is fleeting. We know that fame doesn't last forever, and you're not going to be fulfilled because of fame, because fame is about people judging you. They're either judging you in a positive way or in a negative way. And if you want to live your life being judged, then that's the answer to whether you just want to be famous. But if you want to do something that is meaningful, that actually fulfills you, then fame may or may not be there, but you will still live a life of fulfillment, something that makes you feel complete, something that makes you feel energized and passionate all the time. And to me, that's what I want to go for. And I think that that's what everyone should be going for. But again, like you said, sometimes this is an experience that people have to kind of go through the ups and downs before they recognize it for themselves. I would hope that by working with me, I'm able to help people recognize this at a younger age so that, again, it's not about saying – I'm not advocating, hey, hang up your dreams, go do this. But I'm just saying, like, you got to kind of reset what your values are, your motives for why you're doing this in the first place.
Yeah, and I should clarify also, I don't necessarily think that having the goal of becoming famous, I don't think it's a bad goal. I think it's a totally legitimate, if that's what you want and you're kind of being true to yourself and wanting that, go for it. Why not? But for the sake of this example, let's say that someone has gone through this process and they've realized that's not truly what they want authentically. Let's say they just want to be a songwriter, for example. Let's say they realize they don't really want to tour and perform, which seems to be a really common theme with writers that I work with. A lot of writers I know don't necessarily want to be out on the road all the time. So let's say that they've come to that realization for themselves. They just want to make money from music, writing music, which still isn't an easy goal, but let's say that that's what they want. How would you kind of help them get to the next level and realize that goal?
Well, if they don't, I guess.
I know that's a big question, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's in some cases it could be individual based, but one of the biggest things is getting your head in the game. A lot of people will contemplate the thing that they want to do.
Yeah.
And they're sort of stuck on perfectionism when they're waiting to feel like maybe I'm not good enough to get involved. If you're going to get involved, say like in a writer's circle of some sort, where you're going to join a group of songwriters and do something, those are things that you can go out there and you have to find where your peers are. And so, it really is going to depend on how are you as a networker. Do you have relationships with people already that are in this space? What is your selling ability? Because again, let's say if you're going down the road of working with, if you're not working with collaborating with other people and you want to go straight to publishers, for example, you need to learn really how to network yourself and how to market yourself and how to identify where the opportunities are as a songwriter. Because I'll give you another, life example. I was really, where I grew up was about roughly 5 or 6 hour drive from Nashville. And I did not grow up listening to country music, really. Country music was not my thing. I was definitely, in the rock genre. Yeah. But I was like, well, I'll try songwriting. Again, just young and dumb and didn't know what I was doing. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll just try doing songwriting and see if I can work with a publisher. And so I went to Nashville and I met with a publisher. And it was really great because he was just a really nice guy. I think he was very gentle considering what I came to him with. Yeah. And he said, what you need to learn is that country music is a different, it's different. The songwriting is different. It's a story. It's about taking someone from kind of front to the end of the story. Whereas in rock, you can kind of just say, or pop even, you can just sort of say whatever you want to say. It doesn't really matter as long as it sounds good. But in country music, it wasn't like that. And so for me, the fact that I took the initiative to just go out there and put myself out there, like I said, kind of young and dumb, and luckily he was, I'd say, gentle about it. But those are the things you have to do if you realize that you want to be a songwriter. It's about actually getting in the game and just taking some actions to get in front of people and learn from those people. You have to be good at networking, or you have to learn the skill of networking if you're not. And you have to really listen to your audience, understand what kind of genre that you want to go in. Just because you decide you want to be a songwriter, and a lot of people feel that invincibility that, oh, I could write in this genre, I can write in that genre, and so forth. And just about every songwriter I know that is successful as a songwriter realizes they're not good at every genre. They might be able to write some chords in a certain thing, but at the end of the day, there's a genre that you are really comfortable with. You need to become an expert and excellent at that genre. It would be my recommendation, because then you have an opportunity to really hone in on that message. You get to hone in on the audience and network with the right people that could actually get you to where you want to be.
Good. Yeah, no, that's really good advice. Let's do this, Greg. I know you focus a lot on the business end and marketing end of things.
Can we talk a little bit about marketing? I feel like it's such an important topic, and I think for musicians, there's it seems like one of the biggest challenges is just reaching people. I mean, there's so much music out there, and there's so many musicians, and there's so many writers trying to connect with people on sites like YouTube and Facebook and social media. Do you have any tips for us in terms of how to more effectively reach our potential fans?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say one of the first things for you to do is, again, because whenever I talk about bands, I talk about it like it's a business. And that's not to diminish the creativity or the artistic part of this. But at the end of the day, you want to make a living doing this, that's a business. You want to do it as a hobby, and then you know, chances are you don't get paid. Well, then you can talk all you want about that, you know. But I'm talking about businesses. So I've worked with so many different kinds of organizations over the years that, you know, companies and merchants that are out there that are trying to survive. So let's take this away just from music for a moment and think about just merchants that are out there and businesses that are trying to make a living. They have tons of competition as well. I mean, look, if you're online right now, Amazon is the monster that everyone's trying to beat if you're online, whether you're Nike or Target or a mom and pop shop that has a store, like an online store out of their garage. Everybody's competing against each other. There's competition everywhere. So the same thing exists for the music business. One of the things that musicians really need to get their head wrapped around better is their digital footprint. Yeah. And by that I mean their website, yes, but also things like SEO that, you know, traditional businesses worry about day in and day out when they're online. But SEO is so key for if you are doing anything on YouTube, whether you're doing podcasts, whether you're doing anything where there's a digital footprint that is getting placed and there's websites are being indexed by search engines. You need to be thinking about SEO. And what I find again, this is after years of seeing this from a different perspective. Now I can look at bands and I say, you know what? So many bands out there thrive on the idea of being unique. They want to be individuals, and it's part of that artistic part. You know, I'm my own thing. I don't want to be compared to this person or that person. But in reality, that's what's going to help you sell yourself better, is when you are in comparison to other people. And so for those of you out there listening, say, no, I don't want to be compared to this band or that band. You're doing yourself a disservice, because people, especially those that are spending money, are looking for familiarity. And for search engines, when you're talking about marketing your band, if you have a website, great. That's the first place. I'm going to take you through a 101, actually, if that's okay, just because I don't want to finish certain things. All right. 101 is you need to have a website that is on your own domain. So I know that some bands, because it's cheaper, they go on, maybe you're like on a SoundCloud or you're on, trying to think of some of the other things out there that kind of Reverb Nation, for example. Those are great for being a vehicle for you to place your music on, but you need to have your own domain name. You need to have your own URL. And then what you need to do with that is that you need to focus on the content and how you describe yourself, because think about someone doing a search for a particular band that is very popular. They do a search for that. If you can do it right and you do this around your keyword research, you show up in those results. Even when someone's looking for the Foo Fighters, let's say, and they do something about Dave Grohl, they still could possibly find you if you write the content the right way. So really, SEO marketing is like a table stake for bands. They should really be focused on that. And a lot of bands, like I said, they kind of look at themselves as just being really all about their image and putting some pictures and videos and music up there. But you really need to leverage smartly how to market yourself through online, because you can have a global audience even if you're just out of your garage if you focus on those kinds of things. Doing it the other way, doing it the hard way, is really just to not put a lot of attention and just say, hey, well, I have a website, or I have my music up on Reverb Nation, and let it be. So I tell you, you really need to start focusing and learning more about digital marketing. It's the same way I would tell you if you were just a traditional business that came and talked to me. I would tell you the exact same thing. It's completely true for artists. Another thing I'll just say is that everything, you need to get more calculated. You know, again, this is a problem. This is business 101 problems for anyone out there. But a lot of times you have one thing that you're doing in one space, where maybe you're doing some shows, and then another space you are, you're doing some videos, and then, you know, maybe you have something else where you know, maybe you're doing a podcast as a band. you need to really make sure you get calculated and having all those things support one another. So it's strategic. And so it's not just like a bunch of flailing your arms around waiting for something to happen. You need to really set up a little environment for yourself where I call it a content calendar, in that you need to really recognize that if you have a show coming up, how are you really promoting that in other areas? Are you building up your email list? Are you focused on SEO? What are your numbers? You know, like you're a musician, you're a working musician, you are a business. What are your numbers? If you don't know your numbers, you don't know how many visitors that you have or how many downloads that you have or what kind of revenue that you're actually bringing in. I mean, all these things are critical things you need to think about for your business. I go off on tangents when it comes to this sometimes because there's so – this is the stuff. This is the stuff that takes a person who – if to your point, if you're looking for fame, great. But if you're looking for sustainability and actually having a long-term career, you have to be business-minded, and these are some of the basics. Again, there's a lot of details within what I said, but SEO is really one of the most important things I think that bands miss out on, that they really could be helping themselves a lot more if they focused on it.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Is there one particular area you think artists should focus on? I mean, is YouTube more important than Facebook, or is Facebook more important than YouTube? Do you have, you know, if artists only have time to focus on one or two things, are there a couple things that really sort of stand out in terms of importance?
Yeah, that's a good question, and the answer really kind of comes a little bit from who your demographic is, as far as who the audience is that you're approaching, but I would say that YouTube being one of the best, and the reason why is that people can find you on YouTube, again, because of SEO, because of the way that, you know, if you spend some real time writing a description about your video or whatever it is that you're posting on a YouTube channel. I'm not expecting you to become an SEO guru overnight, so that can take time if you want to invest time in learning that. But at the very least, you should be focused on writing some real content. Your description should be at least 200 or 300 words at a minimum to describe the video that you're doing. Just don't post a couple things up there and leave it be. Make sure you're actually writing about this so there's more content out there to be found about your video. And then that's stuff that can all carry out through other places like Facebook or Twitter or whatever you would use. But ultimately, YouTube is probably one of the best sources. But you have to, again, just be strategic and make sure you mention your URL. Make sure that's in the description. Make sure you're talking about names. Make sure you're talking about maybe other bands that you sound like. Things that could help people find you. Because, again, if I go on YouTube and I want to watch a Foo Fighters video, if you have Foo Fighters, you know, used in part of your description maybe of your video, who knows? Yours might sort of show up based on the algorithms of the way that stuff works. So those are things I would tell you to focus on is build up more text content for yourself.
Yeah, that's great advice. I've been sort of working on building up my own YouTube channel, and it's kind of slow going, but I definitely noticed that when I put up covers and songs that people actually search for, that they get more hits. Any other tips in terms of how to get more views?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes not about even what the song is that you're playing. I mean, doing the cover like you're talking about is a great way. But sometimes you can just mention in your description bands that you're influenced by. And again, that's going to help people. So, you know, if you're influenced by the Beatles or whoever it is, by maybe putting that in your description, if someone goes on there and does a search for a Beatles video or whatever, again, that might help you rank a little higher in that. So that's why I say, like, it's really important to spend some time. If you're going to do the video, don't stop there. Actually focus on writing some content. So give yourself about, you know, like I said, you could do about 200 to 300 word description of your video, work in some names of maybe some bands that inspire you or songwriters that inspire you or whatever. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that can help you really grow in being found.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, listen, Greg, this is really good stuff. I appreciate you doing the podcast. I want to let's tell people where they can find out more about you. So your website is rhythmofprofitability.com.
Correct. And so at rhythmofprofitability.com, and you can contact me personally if you have any questions, particularly the SEO usually leads to a lot of questions. So if anyone out there ever has a question about that, you can reach out to me personally at Greg, G-R-E-G, at rhythmofprofitability.com. And I also have the podcast under the same name, which is rhythmofprofitability.com. And where I on the podcast, I typically focus a lot on these types of subjects. It's sort of taking an entire episode and kind of breaking down various marketing strategies and sometimes, you know, personal development, professional development strategies. But it's really geared around helping people find a way to generate revenue and a business by leveraging their passion.
Awesome. Really good stuff. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, Greg, I really like your podcast. So I encourage you guys to go check out Greg's podcast and website. And what would you say, what's sort of your typical client? If someone wants to work with you, I know you kind of cover a lot of different things, but what is sort of a typical client like that comes to you to work with you?
Really, like I said, it is kind of all over the place, but ultimately it's really about somebody who wants to be more business minded. I mean, that's who I'm looking for to work with. I don't want to work with people necessarily that are just sort of, flirting with ideas and goofing off necessarily. I want to help them discover what it is that they want to do and to actually get more serious about what they want to do. And then I want to ultimately help them develop a strategy to get to where they want to be. So I'm looking for people that want to understand how to build a business out of their art.
Awesome. Greg, thanks so much for doing the podcast today.
No, thank you very much for having me again. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too.
So I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Greg Davis. I found the interview really inspiring. I think Greg has a lot of really good ideas. Definitely check out his website. I thought I'd do something a little bit different today since I didn't have on a musician per se. Greg's not really doing a lot of current music that I'm aware of. And since I normally end each podcast with a song, I thought today I'd end with one of my own songs. In addition to running my website and teaching other people how to license music, at heart, first and foremost, I'm a musician and songwriter myself. I write songs. I'm a very active songwriter and performer. And if you're interested in learning more about my music, visit my website, which is aarondavison.net. This song is a recent track of mine called I'm Gone, and I hope you like it.
And turn to find a way to make you see the things that I have tried to say. I'm gone, I'm gone, I've turned around. It's sometimes hard, it's sometimes sad, sometimes there are no words, only thoughts I've had. I'm gone, I'm gone, I've turned around. And I'm so far away. Things look different today. It's funny how it seems without you, kinda like a dream. My way, I always do. I might be lost sometimes, but then again, you might be too. I'm gone, I'm gone, I've turned around. And when I leave, I hope you're fine and you remember me. Think of me sometimes. I'm gone, I'm gone, I've turned around. Not so far away. Things look different today. It's funny how it seems without you, kinda like a dream. I'll follow my heart. left is right and up is down. Everything I thought I knew seems so different now. Now I'm gone, I'm gone, I've turned around. Now I'm gone, I'm gone, I've turned around.